Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer. Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and Katie Balls. So over the weekend, Operation Yellowhammer, a government report detailing what would happen in a no-deal Brexit and the government's response to it, was leaked. Katie, what did it say?
So it was dispatched in the Sunday Times and it detailed the various possible outcomes of a no-deal Brexit. Now, the government have been keen to stress that this is a worst case scenario, but some of the highlights, if you want to call them that, we have a transport disruption. 50% to 85% of lorries travelling across the channel may not be ready for French customs. You have food shortages is another thing that came up. There's possibility of fuel shortages, and also you have the Irish border, and there was talk there of the fact that it wouldn't be sustainable in the long term, or perhaps even in the past immediate short term, to have this policy which Boris Johnson has spoken of not having a hard border, so not doing checks and making clear it wasn't a sustainable way forward. Now, lots of the things in the Project Yellowhammer document have been reported previously. You've had them in various government leaks, also just in a forecast of what might happen. I think what is damaging is clearly this is at a point where Boris Johnson is trying to send this message to the EU that the UK is ready for no deal, and the government have been quick to hit back that this is an older document. Now, how old this document is, I think it's hard to dismiss it in its entirety. Ultimately, it might be a month old. We know that since Boris Johnson has come into government, they have put extra funds into preparing for no deal, into trying to avoid the situations. It was interesting that you had Gibraltar coming out saying that the things in the Yellowhammer report in the Sunday Times relating to Gibraltar are no longer the case because they have made progress there. So some of the stuff has moved. I think it is difficult, though, to dismiss it as a whole. Ultimately, though, the difference between Boris Johnson governments and Theresa May's government is there is this sense in Theresa May's government that you'd have cabinet and you'd go round and people would say arguments for or against pursuing a no-deal Brexit. This government is very clear that if they cannot get a deal, it is a no-deal Brexit. So it's not really a debate anymore about doing it. So therefore, this is damaging to some extent, but I don't think it's got any chance really of changing policy.
Fraser, this obviously comes in the weekend before the G7, and Boris Johnson's going to meet Angela Merkel and Macron later this week as well. So Number 10 is saying that these are disgruntled Remainer ministers who've leaked this. Do you think that's the case?
Well, Number 10 seems to be pointing the finger at Philip Hammond, the former chancellor. We hear from somebody calling himself Philip Hammond's spokesman in the Daily Telegraph today that it wasn't him. I wasn't aware that sacked chancellors had spokesmen, but there you go. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, the moment you commit something to paper, the chances of it leaking are pretty high. You talk to any civil servant right now, they will know that when they put things in memos, it will probably come out, whether it's in the next couple of weeks, the next couple of years. And that's why the culture in the civil service is, if there's something which is sensitive and you don't want to leak, you basically say it, you don't put it in a document. But what I've been struck by in the last sort of 48 hours is the lack of coordination between the government's response here. Now, you've had Michael Gove saying this isn't a base net scenario, this is a worst case scenario. So in other words, this isn't what we expect to happen, this is the worst that could possibly go on. However, that's not what they told the Sunday Times. The quote they gave to the Sunday Times was that we don't comment on leaks, and something relatively drab like that. Now, if you're going to come up with a response to this, best to get a response before the story is published, not afterwards. We do know that also Number 10 wants a more aggressive rebuttal strategy. So we saw this weekend both Sajid Javid and Michael Gove on Twitter rebutting stories or tweets, so we can expect more of that. And it makes sense, of course, for government to actually rebut no-deal stories it thinks are false. Theresa May's government didn't do that because it was rather helped by these no-deal stories. And that's the other thing to remember. Yellowhammer was a Theresa May-era document, written at a time where civil servants thought it was helpful to the government to have relatively scary no-deal scenarios because they thought the government was trying to win a battle of Parliament, and the more worried Parliament was about no-deal, the less likely it was to stop Theresa May's deal. But now a new ethos, so new management. But I'm not so sure if the government can get away with saying, as Michael Gove's trying to say, this is ancient history, this document, this is an old document. The document's only a few weeks old, that's not that old. I'd be amazed if even half of its material is out of date. So again, the government should have thought quite earlier on what it was going to say and said it in advance. Now it looks as if it's making stuff up.
And Katie, how do you think the government will respond to Yellowhammer in the weeks that follow from here?
So I've had a suggestion that the government is planning to get on the front foot by putting out its own document detailing no-deal planning. Now, I think that this is partly because Yellowhammer is something that was started under Theresa May's government. And that doesn't mean the risks aren't real, but I think that there is a different direction now in terms of the task given to civil servants, in terms of the funds going forward. So I think they will want to put out a no-deal document, which will paint a slightly brighter picture than the Yellowhammer document did. Now, I think as part of that, we will see the fact that Sajid Javid has released extra funds to deal with various things. I think we'll have a different tone to it. I think that there are a group of MPs who are now demanding that actually let's not wait a couple of weeks to see that document. We want it now. I think this is putting pressure on the government to almost come up with a no-deal narrative, something that isn't particularly apparent in the past couple of weeks, because we had Boris Johnson during the leadership campaign saying the chances of no deal were a million to one. And it still seems to be the case that ministers are a little bit shy of talking about no deal as too real an outcome, because they're still trying to perpetuate or push this idea that a deal is imminent, is very likely. The pressure on the government is going to grow, though, because we know that this week is the big week for Boris Johnson, in the sense that it's his first week really on the world stage. He is going to be meeting with various EU leaders in advance of the G7 summit at the weekend. I think Number 10 had initially hoped that this would be where you might start to see some progress, perhaps, or all the sense that they were making progress on a deal. Given that that sounds very unlikely, I think that if there are comments at the G7, if there are comments when he meets Angela Merkel about how Brussels will not move on the backstop, what Boris Johnson has said needs to happen in order for renegotiation to start, there'll be extra pressure on the government to show how it is going with its no-deal planning. So we know that they are having regular meetings every week. We know that there is the war cabinet, I can say it because James is not here, no-deal planning meeting, which is just probably the top tier of ministers involved in that. James doesn't like war cabinet.
He told me off once for using it, though it's not my term.
He thinks, like, you shouldn't compare it to war.
Right, but the thing is, they actually do meet in Cobra, right? They go into this ridiculous room and they give themselves the kind of crisis vibe. I mean, governments sort of, they themselves take on the aura of wartime planning because that's the vibe the Prime Minister wants to give to the ministers. That's a
we
fair
know
analogy.
That.
Anyway, normal James service will return next week.
But yeah, so you have the war cabinet meetings, and that's a much smaller group. But then you also have the one that happens several times a week, which is chaired by Michael Gove with all of the cabinet really there, so many more ministers in attendance talking about specific ways. You had Dominic Cummings recently to aides send them a task to go and find the black swans, and by that he meant the horrors lurking in the various departments when it comes to not being prepared for no deal planning. And that task, you saw various departments I think praised in terms of what they came back with for highlighting things and the progress made. So I think this is a government with a completely different approach to its no-deal preparedness. I think anything they put out is clearly very easy to get a negative headline from, because there is very likely going to be disruption in the event of a no-deal Brexit. The questions are, how long is that disruption going to last for and to what level? I think Yellowhammer is, as they are saying, the worst-case scenario, but you are going to, I think this is going to force the government to basically now examine how they are planning to frame this and what they're putting out there.
And this takes us to a very difficult and live discussion in the government right now. And what should the position on no deal be? Should you be sort of Boris Johnson, breezy optimism is going to be fine? Or, because the question is, right, if it is fine, they don't need to worry. Then there's going to be a good Christmas and they can have a general election in Easter. And this is what most cabinet members want. But Here's another scenario. Say it's not fine. That will be bad for them. But even worse, if it's bad, after ministers having said it would be good. So they better be very careful now. Whatever they say needs to be consistent with any sort of viable scenario, because it will be dreadful for them if they were to say, disregard this, Yellowhammer is not going to happen. Then all of a sudden, ping, no deal, hammer time, and things go as badly as they thought.
Fraser, do you think it's just an optics PR problem that we're facing at the moment, or can the government actually do anything different in terms of no deal in the next few months and in the month that's passed? I mean, when you look at what Yellowhammer says about medicines, for example, some medicines' expiry dates are shorter than what you can stockpile for, and the Yellowhammer does address the idea of airlifting medicines as well being not financially viable. So is there that much that the government, even with a new direction, can actually do?
Oh yeah, there's so much you can do in terms of no deal planning. And I do think that medical shortages, look, I could regret saying this, but I'd be amazed if there's any serious medicine you cannot get your hands. And I can't see, even in the acrimony after Brexit, the French trying to obstruct the supply of medicines to Britain. It just does, to me, doesn't seem plausible. But they can make it a lot worse by being loose in their language now. What they should do is to simply say that we stand ready to respond to any scenario. That's what the Bank of England does. That's what the government should do. They shouldn't try to predict how badly it's going to be, because there are too many variables. We simply don't know. It might be fine. It might be a case of two-month disruption, two-month kind of turbulence. Or there might be the kind of examples of consumer panic and shortages of certain things. I mean, Michael Gove once spoke about the ingredients for Mars bars, for example, something random like that. But they simply don't know, and they ought not to say now that they do. But right now, unfortunately, it comes down to leadership. Boris Johnson himself has got to work out what is the government's approach to no deal. And that's why we saw all of his messing about over the weekend, his inability to tell the Sunday Times that this was a worst-case scenario, its decision is finally working out its response to this leak after the article was published. This isn't bad PR, it's just bad decision-making. Boris Johnson himself was slightly caught short here, I suspect not for the last time.
Katie and Fraser, thanks very much. And you can subscribe, rate and review us through all the usual routes. And remember, we still do have that £20 Amazon voucher for anyone who subscribes via spectator.co.uk/voucher. You get 12 issues of The Spectator for just £12. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow.